This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level, Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus aurelius by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 420 kelvins to keep a sin-flooded statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel
Excellent.
It, Michael
Excellent.
And Seamus?
Yes, I feel a lot.
I feel it.
And as always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yep. Phil's supposed to be here too, but he's rebooting his house.
Yes.
That's right. He's got in trouble.
Hey, I have propriety over that game. Come on now.
I didn't
Nobody
reboot
else
my
house
yet.
House.
Seamus did something that made him sound not as bad. What'd you do, Seamus? You tried blowing
right.
out the fluff in your computer with canned air, and there wasn't. How much fluff was in there?
There was a good deal of fluff, but it was mostly that the canned air was just weak. It wasn't a solid can. My roommate let me borrow one, and it turned out it was mostly empty.
He'd been huffing it.
No, maybe. I'm not. All right. One of us was huffing it, and it may not have been my roommate. All right. Here's the point, though. I put my laptop in another room and strung my USB cable for my microphone into the other room. So fortunately, you guys can't hear the fan. I did not get a better house, though. So if we hear cars driving
that's
by.
All right. That's all right. You know, some people would say, well, that's a lot of effort to go through to do a show.
Not really.
But. Somebody's echoing. Let's figure out who that
I
is.
That.
Hang on a sec. Hang on. All right, so check. Still hearing it. Doze. Murder Dog. Seamus. Let's see. Check. Oh, Seamus, you're going to have to go in the other room and turn down your headphones. Unless you can do it from where you are. All right,
let me see. Let me try to adjust this knob.
Okay, because they're a little loud. I'm hearing.
No.
Nah.
Can you say that on radio?
I've been watching Beavis and Butthead.
No.
It's been good. All right.
Children, I'll be right back. I'm going to turn it down.
Yeah, you will. So, some could say that's
We're
a lot of
professionals.
Effort to go through, Bing but it's bong. Actually basically Bing what he's bong. Doing is making a recording studio. You know how recording studio, you have the glass that separates you, the recording equipment, the equipment from the artist. And basically he's done that with space by moving his computer. We got Phil playing with his microphone really hard there. Is that Phil?
Hey, Phil.
Oh, it shouldn't Phil. Be. I turned it all the way down.
Oh, Phil, there you are. Can you hear us, Phil?
Yes.
Are you playing with? Are you touching your microphone?
No.
That might
Were
be Seamus
you?
Sitting back down.
Oh, Seamus. Yeah.
Maybe not. We do radio and stuff
today.
Here.
We do radio and stuff here. Yeah. So anyway, let's start actually doing some radio now that we got a full squirm of sort of maybe worms that might stick on. I think Seamus did turn down his. The echo's gone. Echo. Yeah, it's
I hear it very, very right. faintly, but
yeah,
echo.
But it's better. It's better. Gecko. So Phil, what's up? How are you doing?
Oh, I'm not bad. Apparently, my internet service provider, whom I may or may not be able to name, I'm actually not sure, decided
Go
to
ahead.
Drone
Why couldn't
me.
You name them? Why couldn't you name them?
I don't know.
There's no law against complaining about
name all the things, Phil. Things.
Hey, where I come from, Comcast is a bad word, so. That might not be something you can
say
on the radio.
Oh, I see what you're saying. All right. So, well, I got something to complain about. Service at. Fancy that. God, who is playing with their mic, man? Seamus.
I don't know.
What?
It's not me.
I'm back. Just got back.
Have you been doing this, playing with your mic like this for like 10 minutes?
No.
It sounds like it. If you haven't, either you're lying or someone else is lying. Because the whole time you were gone, I heard like microphone playing with sounds. Wasn't
no,
you?
I didn't touch the mic. Maybe, I mean, I didn't touch the mic. Maybe the chair might have moved that I have it attached to, but I didn't touch the mic.
Yeah, I think
mic,
it did. I think your chair has become sentient. Yeah.
Oh, no. Get out, Seamus. But, get out now.
So basically, we got a bunch of amateurs here, and we're trying to teach them how to be professionals. So, guys, when you walk away, you should turn down your mic. I said that to you before the show, and then you didn't do it
again. Yeah, I didn't. No, I know. I couldn't. I didn't want to turn the mic off because then I'd have to reset the whole thing. I didn't think my chair was going to be making noise when I left. I didn't know it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Your control's in the other room. I forgot. Never mind. That's what you're going to do. All right. Yeah. So anyway, let's have some actual content now. 5 minutes into the show, and it's been sound check. And, you know, people could blame me for getting cranky about it, but this is an experiment in radio. Well, if I don't get cranky about it, the show doesn't happen or it sounds horrible. And this is kind of an experiment in radio. Here's what's going on, and no other shows are doing this. There's no other show in the world that I know of that has a, like, 15 or 17 now, I think, different hosts that are all in different physical locations.
Bean phone.
Oh, freaking heck.
I don't know what that was about. It's me.
Is that Phil?
No, it's Murder Dog.
That was... Yeah, I blame the government. All right, so...
I was having no issues. I don't know where that came from, so sorry.
Yeah,
about that,
so folks. what I was saying was, we're the only show in the world that I know of that is on syndicated radio and has a bunch of different hosts in a bunch of different locations and is not spending a lot of money on equipment, you know, and syndicated.
And it shows.
And it shows. Well, it does tonight. I'm kind of horribly embarrassed, and I'm going to probably end up editing the show so I can just chop out everything up until right now. Welcome to the Freedom Fiends. All right. I want to talk about, have you guys ever used a thing called purse.io? Do you know what that is?
No, sir.
I saw your post about it earlier. Before. Oh, okay.
You used it, Phil? So explain what it is and how it works, Phil.
It's essentially, well, the way it started, they've been changing it a lot, but the way it started was essentially a whole bunch of people with Amazon gift cards who wanted Bitcoin would buy stuff for people who wanted stuff on Amazon and had spare Bitcoin. And usually what would happen is the Bitcoin would have a certain amount of markup because the person who had the Amazon gift cards would, you know, be willing to pay that markup, and they would just look for the best deal for whatever item the Bitcoin the buyer with Bitcoin wants to grab.
And now what is it? You said it used to be that. You told me what it used to be, and then you stopped. Like, what is it now? We're radio.
As far as I remember,
a radio show, and these people are about to all be not on radio if this keeps up.
As far as I know,
I'm not talking to you in your house. Talk to me. We're on radio. At least 10,000 people are listening. Somebody else is making background noise, slapping something around, whatever that is. I'm hearing it. So, Phil, what is it now? You said that's what it used to be. Is it different now?
Not to my knowledge. I just know they've been putting a whole lot of added stuff to it. Like they put purse storefront now where you can sell your own stuff if you want. Mm.
Okay. It's completely different than that now. So I'm going to, they say a lawyer should never ask a question he doesn't know. There's kind of a radio corollary to that, which is never throw to someone, meaning say, so Phil, explain blah, 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 when you're not sure the person knows it. So, have you not used it recently? Cause it's a different business model now, apparently.
Okay. No, I mean, I've not within the last year. No.
Okay, so it does not. I have a question though. How did the people get the Amazon gift cards? Where did that, like, presents from grandma or something?
Yeah, as far as I know. I mean, I'm sure some people would just buy stuff on Amazon because it's like you don't have to have gift cards. That's just the way it was sort of advertised when they launched it.
Okay, the way it works now is it's totally automated. The way it's supposed to work now is you get an account on it, you find stuff you want to buy. It's basically a way to buy stuff on Amazon with Bitcoin without converting the Bitcoin to money directly yourself and get a discount. That's what it is now. And the way it works now is where it's supposed to work is you set up an account, you find things you want on Amazon and you put them in a public, what's it called, DJ? Wish list. Yeah. Hmm. Wish lists are commonly used by radio hosts, people who like to get donations, like Ian Freeman uses them.
Yes.
And they're also widely used by strippers and prostitutes. I've seen that. I've stumbled across that.
And I was going to say like wedding, you know, people getting, you know, baby showers and stuff like that. Yeah. I didn't even think of the strippers.
I don't go looking for hookers, but they, you know, they try to add you on Facebook, like the ladies who probably are actually men using hot chick pictures, saying, add me, you know, and I look on there.
Catfishing?
I always have like one mutual friend and it's usually Eddie Free.
All right. So, what? Do people actually fall for that? No, it's crazy.
Eddie Free is often the mutual friend I have with the ladies who try to, you know,
Like, some people do. I've seen people do that. Other people just do it because they just accept anybody.
Well, I actually wanted to see. I wanted to see. Do I think what, Seamus?
No, do you think a lot of these people actually fall for those scammers, or they're just so desperate and sad that they fool themselves?
Yes.
Isn't that both? Why not both?
Yeah.
But who knows? You know, I'm not saying Eddie Free is those things. Maybe Eddie Free is and does a secret undercover, you know, TV show exposing those ladies that we have.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you, Eddie.
Very kind.
All I'm saying is the evidence. The only evidence I have is that Eddie Free is often the only mutual friend I have with them.
Maybe they're all Eddie's socks.
Oh.
Ooh, interesting.
We've learned something here.
Yeah. So one time a couple times I've added them just to see what kind of scam they're trying to pull, and then deleted them as friends, as humans from the earth. And
I banish you from the earth.
And they both had like, here's my wish list. Get me things I want.
Wow.
And I saw it somewhere else, not on Facebook, of someone that was, you know, a chick who was like being a chick for a living in some way or another. Or someone pretending to be a chick. Yeah. And so that's the other use, I think, for wish list. I'm sure it's every kind of people, you know, college students, strippers, prostitutes, whores, murderers. And
it could be all of those things.
And Eddie Free and me and Ian Freeman. So those are the people who I know of who have Amazon wish lists. So the way it works now is you put your things you want on Amazon in an Amazon wish list. You upload or you send some Bitcoin to the site. They give you an address, and then it you can buy it instantly with a 5% discount, or you can set a discount up to like I think 15% the first time and up to like 50%, and like. I've heard people on Free Talk Live raving about this. Like they've gotten a 50% discount if you're willing to wait a few days on something. Because there's often someone who's desperate to get. But they have my money and it's disappeared. So, but I don't want to go to the break having people go, oh, they're great. During the break, I'm going to go try this. So what I'm leading up to is where my money.
They got my money. What happened to that?
Yeah.
What happened?
And I.
We'll talk about it
later. We'll talk about it later. Yeah.
Oh.
Thanks.
Worms.
Hopefully all of our problems are solved.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free and, of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends. Review it on Google Play and Amazon. Prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms.
Technical difficulties.
Yeah.
We can move forward. So I don't know where Michael ran off to when we were talking about the Persio. Yeah. There he is.
All right. Yeah.
Yes. What? We're back. Welcome.
So, purse.
Yes.
So, Phil, does that resemble in any way the purse that you knew a year ago? Because I know it is a new company. I know it's evolving.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's that was one of the aspects, one of the ways that transaction would work would be you. And I actually bought my coffee roaster this way. What I did was I put I put that on the wish list and I got it for like 35% less than I normally would have bought it. by exactly the process that you described.
But it took some days?
Yeah, it took a little while.
Yeah, yeah. So, as far as I know, that's the main focus now of Purse.io, and there may be other ones, but that's the one that's apparent when you go to the site, and that's the one I was trying to use. And last night, I was trying to buy a piece of equipment and radio equipment, and went to the site, used it, made a main account. The reason I had to do this was because I used to be able to see. I live in Wyoming, which is one of two states that most anybody who does business in Bitcoin, who actually, like, you know, isn't just some guy that's actually a site with offices and things, usually don't do business. Yeah, an actual company usually don't do business with Wyoming and sometimes New York, because both have really onerous requirements for companies that do business in both of those places. And New York, sometimes they'll
it's
make
horrible.
You, well, it's horrible, but the companies will sometimes work with New York State residents, because there's so many of them that the company will actually hire a compliance officer whose job is just New York State law compliance.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
But Wyoming has, like, me and three people at the college using Bitcoin. Seriously, it's...
I know you said that before.
I forget what site it was, but it was... It's the lowest population site, but it's also the lowest per capita and lowest population of Bitcoin transactions.
Wow.
So for a bunch of sites have confirmed that. So that is true. And
well,
we still have go ahead.
I was going to say, well, the tumbleweeds outnumber the people out there. So you got to doesn't really
sheep outnumber people. Tumbleweeds aren't that common, actually.
Oh, I thought they were.
But well,
just the ones that attack your fence.
Well, they get caught in the fence. So by the end of summer, there's like 12 of them in the fence. So it looks like there's a lot of them. But it took like one a week.
All season to get there. Gotcha. Yeah. I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
I misunderstood.
My tumbleweed trap is not overflowing.
Well, that's good, because I've heard tell it's a pain in the butt to clear, huh?
Yep. So... So I basically put money in Purse.io, and as of today, I don't know what happened. There's definitely something wrong with the site, and I put in let me tell you what's wrong with the site, and then I'll tell you what I've done about it. So, or what's wrong with the transaction. So, I went to put the Bitcoin in it. The little thing came up from their site that says, here's the address to put it in. You know, you have 16 minutes or whatever to put it in. And I was messing around with some other stuff and didn't get it in time. And it got to like the 15 minutes was up, but then it didn't say, you can't do this. It said, you know, are you still trying to make the are you still going to make the transaction? So I started, I was like, yeah, I'll make the transaction. Now I sent the transaction. And as of today, it had like 60 confirmations. I mean, it's gone to the address they gave me, and the thing, but it shows no record in my account. It shows no record of ever having transacted with them, of ever having sent Bitcoin to them, and it shows no orders. However, the other thing that's weird on the other end is that, so Amazon, I didn't get any emails from them or Amazon, but I've heard sometimes with wishlist stuff, Amazon doesn't send you an email, even though I did what they said, which is uncheck the surprise me. I can't imagine why people would want random crap to just show up that they didn't know was coming. I always want a tracking number, because, you know,
people who live a very lonely existence and don't get presents regularly
and want to get presents from themselves. Yeah. But so it's gone from my wish list. So it looks like it's been ordered. But it also looks like I've never sent money to Purse, and I've never made a transaction on there. So either the weirdest hacker ever hacked them and, like, took my Bitcoin and ordered the thing and hacked Amazon and changed the address to have it sent to them and then removed their address and removed all record from Amazon, or else the money's gone and it's Purse's fault, or else the transaction happened and Purse has no record of it.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you tired of driving your kids to G.G. Allen's grave only to be unable to find the grave because some dick stole the headstone? Well, there is a solution. The Find G.G. Allen's Grave app for Android will give you door-to-grave directions. The Find G.G. Allen's Grave app uses advanced GPS protocols to guide you with voices to the exact patch of dust and grass where G.G. took his final dirt nap. Bring the kids. Do some needle drops at the G.G.iest place on Earth. G.G. always had a huge underground following, but it's even bigger now that he's literally underground. So it's no surprise that lots of folks today take a pilgrimage to G.G.'s grave. But getting there wasn't easy. Until this app. Forget Graceland, forget the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Those are plastic places for old people with jobs. Hell, even CBGB's is gone, and that former hallowed ground is now a yuppie coffee bar. The real rock and roll mecca is an unmarked patch of grass in Littleton, New Hampshire, and our free app will show you how to get there. Get the Find G.G. Allen's Grave app today. Even if you're not planning to go there soon, the app is fun. The Find G.G. Allen's Grave app is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License, and it's from the good people at Beast Lick Internet Policy Commission Outreach Team, who also brought you Fiend Phone, the Freedom Fiends radio app, BIPCOT, MeowBit, and of course, Truth, Justice, American Way. The Find G.G. Allen's Grave app is free. Get it today on the Google Play Store or on Amazon. Your family will thank you. And don't forget to rate and review. Worms, eating G.G. Allen's face.
We're talking about purse.io and how
bad purse.
It's actually looking like they've robbed me, or they've allowed me to be robbed.
Is that like irony that the purse.io Michael Money?
I am purse. Yeah, I got my. That's, I don't know you. That's my purse online. Yeah, I got mugged of my purse online.
You got mugged by purse. That's even worse. Yeah.
Does this happen to other people?
No. Yeah. It is. Because I posted on Facebook and asked had it happen, and you know, 8 people said, "Oh, purse is fine. I use it all the time." And one person said, "Yeah, I lost my money. Never got it back." Exactly what you said.
So, that's 2 out of 10, according to our sample.
I wonder if it's a transaction time thing. Because right now,
it's confirmed. It's confirmed. It has like 60. It had like 90 confirmations before the show.
It was a Bitcoin thing. Is it gone from your wallet?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's gone from my wallet, and it's in the address that they gave me. Unless they were hacked with a really sophisticated hacker who can be the man in the middle in their transaction and like put up a window that looks like it should be part of purse, giving me a different
and email, really, 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 really wanted the thing that you were getting.
And really, 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 really wanted that one thing I had, which was some sort of radio antenna. We won't get into it at all. Although,
well, if you check your wish list, if they do buy it, it'll be gone out of the wish list.
It's gone out of the wish list.
Oh, then they bought it.
Did they bought? So they bought it and kept it.
Well, either they kept it or they're in the process of sending it to you.
That my belief, my hope, is that it's in the process of sending to me, but there's something horribly wrong with their site. Which,
well, no, because you're connecting to a person. So a person is buying it. So purse isn't buying it.
Why does it say no record of any transactions in purse for me? No orders. There's a thing that says orders, history of orders. There's no orders listed.
Right.
And in transactions, there's no transactions listed.
Well, what probably happened is it broke in purse, but the guy still got your money, or at least this is what I'm assuming, is that purse broke, but the guy still got your money and is following through. At least that's, you know, positive scenario.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that,
but so I went on their site and they say that they cover $10,000 up to $10,000 customer protection. So they better fix this. So I wrote
make it
to
right,
them.
Purse.
I wrote to them on their site and you know on their contact purse and it says typically answers in 3 hours. And that was about 3 hours and 10 minutes ago that I contacted them. Now, here's the other thing. I'm not going to say who, but somebody I know knows their CEO and gave me his email address. I'm not going to say who, but there's a radio show out of the thousands of radio shows in the world. There's one that Purse advertises on. So the person from that show gave me the head of Purse's email address, and I wrote him about 3 hours ago and said, let me just read the first paragraph because it's kind of cute. I think I got ripped off on purse.io. So blankety blank gave me your email address is the subject line. I think I got ripped off on Purse or your site has been hacked. Hi, blank. I do the Freedom Fiends radio show, the only other syndicated voluntarist radio show on the terrestrial radios besides Free Talk Live. We go on air in 2 hours, so I'd love to get this resolved before then so I can say how great your support is rather than money is and I'm still waiting on the show. And then I explained to him my problem and said at the bottom, this is a really really horrible first-time user experience for your site. So, he just wrote me back. And
wow.
Is he listening? He must be listening. Yeah.
I don't know if that would have cleared the cuss filters in time for him to answer.
Wow. Talk about timing. You'd think he'd have to be.
Yeah. All right. You guys talk about some. You guys introduce the next thing. I'm going to go answer him. Maybe we'll settle this before the end of the show.
There you go. Nice cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
So go ahead and read this thing, this crazy status thing that I found. It's on the FCC site, but I didn't want to link it from the FCC site. I don't link government sites, so I linked it from
don't give them
Google
traffic.
Cash.
So here's an article from the FCC site titled "Consider a New Way to Combat Pirate Radio Stations." So Phil,
those evil pirates. All right, everyone should agree that pirate radio stations, by any definition, are completely illegal. Given other responsibilities and obligations, however, the Commission's resources are stretched, and it seems that stopping pirate radio is not at the top of the priority list. While this reality is not surprising, we need to consider other ways to remove the scourge that is pirate radio.
Scourge.
One approach would be to give broadcasters a new right to use the legal process to go after such stations, letting loose broadcasters' legal bloodhounds to root out the violators. This isn't a new idea, as it has been done in other circumstances outside of spectrum policy, such as to combat email spam, and we should consider it here too.
Wow. Okay, before I continue, just to remind everybody, this is not The Onion. This is actually from the FCC. Mm-hmm.
The scourge.
It is important to start by recognizing the truth about pirate radio stations. They are not cute. They are not filling a niche. They are not innovation test beds. And they are not training grounds for future broadcasters. I would disagree wholeheartedly with all those statements personally. Sorry. To continue. If broadcasting were a garden, pirate radio would be poisonous crabgrass. Put another way, pirate radio participants are similar to outlaws who rob a retail store and then sell the stolen inventory online. In practice, private radio causes unacceptable economic harm to legitimate and licensed American broadcasters by stealing listeners. Pirate operators also cause harmful, quote-unquote, harmful interference, unquote, that inhibits the ability of real broadcasters to transmit their signals and programming, which provide such vital services as emergency alerts, critical weather updates, political information, and news. Ooh. And pirate radio can disproportionately impact minority-based stations as they undercut their financials and cause harmful interference to legitimate stations serving minority populations. But wait till you hear more.
Let's also dispel another myth. Pirate radio does not increase media diversity. From time to time, arguments have been made that we should look the other way because some pirate radio operators may be minorities. They're really about minorities, by the way. Or the station's content appeals or the station's content appeals to minority listeners. To be clear, the race, color, religion, national origin, sex, or any characteristics of a pirate radio operator should be completely irrelevant to the discussion. So I don't know why they brought them up.
I know, exactly.
Their operations are illegal. End of story. Just imagine if we allow this argument to be persuasive in other spectrum enforcement decisions. Commission spectrum and licensing policies would be thrown into complete chaos and wireless systems would cease to operate.
Race card well, for me, but yeah. not for thee.
Right. Now there's more to this article, but it's basically well opinion piece I should say, but basically
it's on the FCC site. If that's
yeah,
not
I know.
Clear.
Okay, I made sure after the first paragraph to remind people of that.
Michael O'Reilly or O'Reilly
the commissioner. He's actually, listed as commissioner.
Yeah, Commissioner Michael O'Reilly, and the I is before the E. Yeah, so it's pronounced like the owl.
He's a drunken Irishman. He can't spell his name.
You know what? You know what? I will not listen. I will not listen as my people are berated. We are a minority. And
I'm Irish.
Yeah, apparently this author
Phil, are you Irish?
This author?
A little bit, but not a whole lot.
Everyone's
I'm
a little
not
bit Irish
enough to get the Constitution.
We're like, we are, you know the way Irish people reproduce. There's like a little bit of Irish in everyone. But
pretty
it's
much.
Weird because this guy brings up minorities quite a few times.
Well, it's funny. He starts off by talking about how it hurt by pirate radio is hurting minorities. And then he turns around the very next paragraph and talks about this has nothing to do with minorities and nobody should be talking about minorities or bringing them up at all.
He's like, this hurts minorities. And those minorities had better stop pirating radio because it's a problem.
I love how just the quality of writing here is impeccable, just like a high school English essay.
It's very well done. I know. He right. like goes over a few points three or four times to just really beat them into your head.
Oh, yeah.
It well, feels he, like he had...
He uses like high school flowery language, the same type of thing that you would hear a sophomore in grade school be trying to sound a lot smarter than his essay actually is, or a lot
more.
You
could call that sophomoric,
right?
It's argument via adjective.
You have an argument via adjective. I love it.
That's what he's going for right there. Because
it looks
just,
like. The FCC gave him this homework assignment, and it had to be 600 words. He's like, oh, man. He's like, what do I have to say about this?
Okay, so we have breaking exactly news. True. We're going to go back to this, but we have breaking news. Hey, DJ, you listening?
Oh, boy.
So the thing's solved.
Oh, yay.
My thing is ordered. Order is processing.
Allegedly.
Yeah. So what happened was, and I still have a little bit of Bitcoin left over. Here's what happened. So I went to make an account. It said log in with Facebook or log in with blah, blah, blah.
Oh.
And I clicked the wrong thing and I tried to log in with Facebook and it said like, account not created or something. And then so I made an account using just my email and I made an account and I looked like that's the one I ordered it on. So it's partly user error, but it's partly like something weird with their Facebook, you know, enter my Facebook thing. So
it was ordered on a different account.
Yeah, it's on a different account. I somehow made two accounts when I thought I only made one because it said the Facebook account didn't work. And I thought I was logged in with the other one. So there. Yeah, it's all good. Purse.io all right. is good. Great. Everyone should use it.
I'm glad everything worked out.
So you should be a thorn in Michael O'Reilly's butt anytime soon.
So I have a lot more time, free time on my hands now to be to bother Michael O'Reilly from the FCC.
Excellent.
Yeah, he's perfect. Probably not still there. The FCC.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
The Kratom Fiends?
I don't know.
Yeah.
The Kratom Fiends.
Yeah.
So. Are we done making fun of Michael O'Reilly?
No, we're not done making fun of the FCC, though. So,
okay.
So let's see. First of all, what were their basic claims? Were like they picked three true things people say in defense of pirate radio and just said they're not true.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Like,
the biggest two problems to me were that they said that people say that Facebook. That pirate radio. See, Facebook is the problem with purse.io. I figured out what happened now. I'm pretty sure. So like I said, I got the money. I got everything worked out. The CEO wrote me the joys of knowing someone who knows him. I'm not sure I believe too. Like my tech support through the normal channels is not answered yet, but maybe he told him not to answer, but it certainly wasn't answered in 3 hours and 20 minutes. And they say the answer in 3 hours, which is still a long time for tech support. But, I think the problem was Facebook. It looked like tried to make an account with Facebook. It said like, you know, then I tried to log in with a Facebook made account and it didn't work. So I made another account, logged in with my, you know, and then it said it worked. So I was logged in with my Facebook account, thought I was logged in with my email account, but I had gotten some error message that said, you know, Facebook, you know, couldn't log in with the Facebook account I thought I'd made. So I don't know. It's Facebook. So let's blame Zuck. I'll blame Zuck instead of some cool, you know.
You done got Zucked.
Some guy building the bit roads. Yep. So bit roads. Use purse.io for now, cautiously. All right. So
Well, now in our sample size, we're down to 1 in 10 instead of 1 in 9, 1 in 2.
Yeah, exactly. So it was 1 in 5. Now it's 1 in 10.
So only 10% of their transactions end in failure. Losing money.
But maybe his was because of Facebook too, though.
And he didn't realize it.
Oh, yeah. Maybe. Well, the guy, I posted on the same thread that guy posted on. So I'm going to tell him that. That's a really good point. Maybe his, well, he would have gotten his thing, though. But maybe not. Maybe it never went through and his Bitcoin is still sitting there, you know, in his other account. Yeah. All right. So
in limbo.
Yeah. Yeah. So purse.io, use. For now, until further information. So the FCC basically said that, you know, well, people say that pirate radio fills a niche that's not filled with commercial radio. This is simply not true. You know what? Saying something is simply not true simply does not make it not true. Pirate radio absolutely fills a niche. I have at least 7 words
on why that's not true.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, pirate, you know, like in some little like, Wonder Bread town in upstate New York, when you have like a Spanish language Jamaican station in a town that doesn't have many Spanish language Jamaican people, it has like 12 of them. Yeah, you're filling a niche for sure. And the niches are often a lot bigger than that. You know, it might be 2,000 people in New York City in a neighborhood who listen to a certain kind of music in a certain kind of language or something, or, you know.
Yeah.
Some liberty-oriented radio station in some small town in Wyoming. Who knows? But I'm sure these things exist somewhere. But the other thing, what was the other thing he said? He made some other wild, bold, wrong claim.
Well, he just kept bringing up minorities. He's like, minorities have nothing to do with this. But minorities don't stop pirating radio, I'm going to be really bothered.
He also said that they steal listeners from licensed station. That's
as
not
if they
how
own
the
listeners.
Market works. Yeah, when you get a license from the FCC, you don't get listeners with it. You got to earn listeners.
Yeah, exactly.
Whether you're pirating.
This really reminds me of a familiar argument from one bald-headed Canadian man about
he's not
a
Canadian.
Cigarette salesman.
About Molyneux.
He's from, from England.
Oh, obviously.
Molyneux saying why cops should be able to kill some guy selling Lucy's. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Because you got it. I get your thing, but this is radio. No one listening on radio would know what you said.
Okay.
They still don't even know
that who was Molyneux inside, is. Inside. That was inside, inside baseball.
But we've explained Molyneux too many times. I'm not going there. He's a bad man. Anyone named Molyneux is a bad man. That's all you need.
All of them.
All the Molyneux.
Jamie's actually Molyneux. Irish. Jamis, he was born in Ireland.
Was it?
I know, it's kind of embarrassing. England. Don't bring it up. It's really embarrassing for me.
Nope. It's Ireland. But he sounds English, doesn't he?
Apparently it's embarrassing for all four of us.
Honestly, it just sounds like a fake accent, to be honest.
Well, his eyes fall off.
It really does. Well, he is rather
pretty. Yeah, that's right. His eyes fall off. It's like, my eyes. I missed it.
We're out. Almost. You invented the eyes fall out. That was you.
We got time.
Yeah. And it was by accident, too.
Because the eyes really fell out.
Yeah,
he just fell off. On your in-person sock puppet account.
That was beautiful.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Broadcasting from the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Peace Plaza on the artificial satellite, Repair 2017, in the Alpha Centauri region.
Yeah.
Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCAT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCAT.org. So we're back for the second hour. I am Jeremy. That is Michael WD meowing in the background.
Hey.
And we also have Phil and Seamus here. How you guys doing?
How's it going?
Doing good.
Pretty good.
Doing well.
What's it?
So, we were talking about the FCC and how square they are in the last...
So square.
Yeah.
Very square.
To surmise for those two stations, those two FCC licensed stations joining us, for the second hour, what do they say? What do they say that's square?
Pirate radio is a crime. It disproportionately hurts minorities, and also minorities seem to be committing the crime as well. So that's the problem.
Stop hurting yourself.
Stop hitting yourself. Yeah. Stop pirating your radio. Minorities. Stop pirating yourself.
Yeah. And even better, it only matters that they're being hurt. It does not matter that they find it useful.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, and it doesn't fill a niche, even though it tends to appeal to minorities.
Yes. So, yeah, it was interesting because I had heard an argument before that it appealed to minorities, it filled a niche, it allowed new voices to enter the sphere, and he dispelled all those myths simply by saying, nuh-uh. Not true. That's so not
the
true.
The interesting thing I read in this article on the Freedom Fiends that will be in the show notes tonight, some site called the Freedom Fiends had an article by someone named Cash Newman about setting up a radio transmitter and how easy it is. And of course it said, don't do this in America because it's illegal, but you'll probably never be caught if you do this in America. Not a guarantee, not a promise, not legal advice, but, so I looked on the FCC site of what they actually do, and 99.99-something-something of the percent of the time, they send a letter, and they say, stop doing what you're doing.
A sternly worded letter?
Yeah, that says it's not right.
You're hurting minorities.
You may have heard it's right, but it's not right.
I've got news for you.
Yeah, and your second and third and fourth time, you risk goons knocking in your door and taking your equipment, but that's it. Sometimes on the third or fourth, they start fining people like $10,000 fines, but that's for habitual radio users where, you know, really what this Catch Newman joker was saying was something like the sisterhood of the traveling transmitter. Like, you know, somebody could have one in a country, not in America, where they have these laws. And if they got in trouble, they could send it to somebody else and that person could run the transmitter for a while.
Don't try this at
home. Right. And that's a lawyer saying that. So, you know, it's true.
I was going to ask you, Michael, speaking of pirate radio, how much does it cost to get licensed by the FCC? Yard, we be on pirate radio. We be selling the airwaves, looking for booty to steal FCC.
The real pirates here are the FCC because they're the ones that are selling something that God made, which is, air. They're selling use of the air, literally. So,
and it's used air.
See, and people make the joke about the government just waiting to finally be able to regulate the air we breathe, but they already do.
The Beatles did that. Oh, well, that's what carbon...
And they tax
that's what carbon
ways.
Taxes are, is taxing what you do in the air, you know, but this there's also weird... There are whole law firms in New York City that deal with, like selling the rights to space, because space is so limited in New York. Like, if you want to build a building, you don't just need a building permit. Like, sometimes you need to buy the permission from the surrounding buildings to, like, block view of a certain feature on their buildings. That's a sellable commodity now. Yeah. Because people want to live like rats. So here's the thing. The FCC, I mean, I can kind of see the point of, like, they're one of these things of, well, maybe 100 years ago, when technology hadn't caught up, you needed someone to allocate these frequencies. Let's put on our minarchist dunce hats and make that argument. So the argument against that, first of all, with digital radio, which exists, but the FCC has continually put roadblocks up to development of it. Who would build the radio roads? Not the FCC. But with digital radio, you can put like 100 or more, sometimes up to 1,000 stations in the bandwidth space that now like one AM or FM station takes up. So there,
wow.
And you know, everybody would have like those already if it weren't for the FCC. Oh, speaking of creepy
government stuff,
I have an aside here before I forget. I mean, we'll go back to the FCC and how horrible they are, but the you know, the thing of like, have you seen people post? I saw a post recently of someone who said, man, this is so creepy. Google's always listening. I was talking with my wife about how we needed to get a certain kind of bird feeder. I've never searched this. I've never said anything. I've never sent an email about it. And next time I went on Facebook, I was getting ads for birdhouses. Like, have you ever heard anyone have that or have that happen to you?
Mm-hmm. No, yep. But that sounds terrifying.
Yeah, so
yeah, I've had that happen.
So I had something even more directly like, yes, they're absolutely listening and this isn't a coincidence. So I was watching The Sopranos, which I watched about 10 years ago all the way through and liked it. And, you know, I'm always looking for stuff to like, to the point where I'll watch Fear X again. Do you like Fear X?
I did like it. It was interesting. I didn't like the ending because it didn't make sense to me. I was so confused.
It didn't make sense. Yeah, it was one of those arty endings. So we'll talk about Fear X some other time. But so I was watching The Sopranos again because you get it free with Amazon Prime, which is kind of cool. So I was watching it all again. And this song came on. It was the band Cake. And I like Cake. I never like owned any of their music.
I do love Cake.
I like Cake. And you know, they're that art rock band that did that.
Oh,
song.
I never got going into the distance. Band. I like
Cake. Going the distance. Yeah,
oh, was that them?
yeah, they have a trumpet player and a guitar player who sounds like he's playing through a 5-watt amp. It's kind of cool sounding, kind of lo-fi. But I liked them because the guy who wrote that song, The Distance, who later quit the band because he didn't want to be a rock star, really loves my movie DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist, and it encouraged him
oh, cool.
to carry on. after suffering being a millionaire rock star who didn't want to be on stage and quitting his band.
Wow. Yeah, hero.
What a hero I am. That I make art that helps people get through the darkest moments of their life. They're sitting there like Scrooge McDuck on a pile of strippers from that strip club on Market Street. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Well, you know, money can't buy happiness. So I guess he was just, were the ticket.
He told me that. So that made me happy. But anyway, I heard there was a cake song in The Sopranos, and it was something about Frank Sinatra, because they'd mentioned Frank Sinatra in the episode, earlier in the episode, because he's, you know, Italian and all the mobsters allegedly love him. So there was an Italian American like Jeremy. So there was this song, and I was like, I know that's Cake, but I don't know the song, and I want to know the lyrics, and I want to hear the rest of the song. So I searched, and the line was, God, I don't even know what it was. It was something like, when Frank Sinatra sings Gloomy Sunday or something like that. I typed Win Frank, and I didn't finish the word Frank. I typed like Win and then F-R-A-N, and it auto-filled the whole line of that song.
Whoa.
And I was watching it, and I had my Android phone on the table next to me. I mean, it could be that Google knew that I had it could see what you have open in other tabs or windows, but that's almost still just as creepy, I'd say. Like, that's none of their business. But,
well, I don't know. What else would have continued from that line?
Oh, you're thinking that could be the only thing in pop culture?
When Fran Drescher eats peanuts? I can't think of anything that would...
Yeah. Okay. Well, you do have a point. You have a point. That's possible.
I don't know. Yeah, but I don't know about that. That seems kind of like a stretch for, of all things, if you just got through Fran.
It could be something like, full words. You know, it could be something like, Google knows I like the alternative rocks. So when I type Win FRN, I'm not asking about Fran Drescher, probably. You know, could be that. Because I've searched.
I'm guessing a lot of people search for lyrics like that specifically. In fact, I'm pretty sure I've searched for something like that from Cake.
Okay, then I feel less creepy. Let's go talk about the government.
Okay.
I think it's still creepy, but Phil has a point. Let's go talk about the government. Do you have anything nice to say about the FCC, Phil?
Yeah, that's a good one.
You're on them now. You're controlled by them now. That's pretty funny.
I control this.
Yeah, control this. So the interesting FCC, thing about the FCC, the FCC, the interesting thing about them is that, well,
the interesting is nothing.
Nothing. There you go. You know, when I used to write for this newspaper when I was 18, it was like, it was the entertainment paper for my county when I was in college. And I wrote a weird column of like weird musings and thoughts. And they let me do it because, you know, they were all cocaine addicts and needed to fill page inches because it was an actual newspaper and there wasn't a lot of news other than the guy's Kiss cover band was playing who ran the magazine. Sometimes he'd give me a beer and a sandwich, though, when I turned in my article by hand, typewritten on a manual typewriter. One time I didn't have I didn't have a column. One week it was deadline. I had nothing. So I'm like, I just wrote the guy and said, okay, write. And the article's called What I Like About Ronald Reagan, and the article should be like 4 blank column inches. And they published it, and some local radio station guy, like the hip DJ from that county, wrote a letter to the editor and like called me a drugged out little space cadet and did that like, I don't like everything our president says, but you should, you know, you got to respect the chair he sits in kind of thing. And the guy like signed it with his company name where he worked. I almost got him fired. My dad called up and threatened to sue unless he would get a retraction. And he did a retraction. It was so pussy. It was like, I'd like to do a written apology to Mr. Michael Dean, unquote, for calling it, you know, like whatever his station's boss's lawyer told him to say. It was funny. But, that was my first encounter with the, you know, I don't respect the man, but you have to respect the office. BS.
Whatever, man.
I looked that guy up recently. I'm on more stations than he is now.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And go on the sidebar of the Freedom Fiend site. We now have Amazon links for Amazon US, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada due to popular demand. Worms.
Seamus got droned.
Yeah, apparently. Darn drones.
You know, I just realized.
What's that?
Oh, did you lose somebody?
Well, we
I
lost
just realized
Seamus.
that riff from that Cake song, The Distance, you know, the riff goes. It's kind of stuttery, though.
Yes.
It kind of sounds like a retarded person trying to play LA Woman. That's how I think they came.
Man.
I think like the guy's little brother is probably retarded and probably picked up his guitar and was trying to play LA Woman. All right. So what are we talking about? Talking about how much our benevolent government loves us and cares and wants to guide every
protects us from unlicensed airwaves.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah,
well, I was just going to remark. It was kind of funny. We're actually right as we've been talking about that for the last couple of segments. Then we lose Seamus to a droning. I think they're onto us.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I went and bought myself something this week that I did a blog post on. That also is listed. It's also linked in that Cash Newman article that I'm going to link. I went and bought this really cool thing, which is like a dongle. Wait, can you say that on radio? It's a dongle that you plug into your...
that was the wrong one.
Yeah, that you plug into your Android phone and it, and then you download some software, an app that costs $1.01. First app I've ever bought, purchased. I spent $1.01. And...
I like how they're reversing the odd pricing there.
Yeah, what was it? That's the 99 cents off of $2, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's $1 with inflation. It's probably $1.02 now if I checked again. But it turns your phone into a frequency analyzer. So basically you can see the radio waves of any spectrum. And I looked at the FM spectrum in my town, and it's so noisy. It's like the bass noise level is like a quarter to a third of the whole height of the wave. Like, that's how much noise there is in the FM signal. And I read, if you read some of the comments on that article about pirate radio, some of them are from ham radio operators who also own that same equipment and, but better, you know, like the old hardware version of it.
Yes.
And know how to use it better than me. And they say that, like, the problem, you know, that most pirate radio stations now actually use low pass filters and don't, and if they're on an empty frequency, they don't cause problems with radio reception. That the problem with the bass level, like that noise that I was seeing, is and this is ham radio operators who tend to be statist because they love that they get a license and they brag about it. But they're good people. They're all good people. But they kind of are the guardians of the airwaves. Like, they tend to search down and turn in pirate radio operators.
The ham radio operators?
Yeah, they're kind of, they very much remind me. They very much, well, the ones that turn people in for that kind of stuff very much remind me of immigrants who came here legally who hate illegal immigrants who are like, I had to jump through the hoops. You should have to also. So
yeah,
I legal know. Immigrants, ham radio operators are legal immigrants in the air, in the airwaves.
That's funny because I met the bulk of the people that I met that were into that was through the Oath Keepers when I was an Oath Keeper. And it was about half and half. Half of them were like what you're describing, the ones that are kind of like militant like that. Like they like hate the people that are like, you know, basically I had to pay, you have to pay type thing. And the other ones were more like libertarian or anarchistic in that manner. And they're like, I don't really care. Like, you know, whatever, do what you got to do.
Well, I've actually met a guy who's a gun loving minarchist who basically said that there should be no regulation on guns whatsoever, but has to be on radio waves.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think there should be no regulation on guns, but I think if there were no regulation on radio waves, it could work itself out now with technology, but it would probably just turn into a loudness war. It would probably just turn into who has the bigger transmitter.
Yeah, right.
Gets through, but there's different ways you could do it, with digital radio especially. But there's an article that we read on this show about 5 years ago that Nima Vidadi and I found, and it was a website made by a ham radio operator who was furious because two teenagers were running a pirate radio station in his town that had like an 8-block radius, and they were playing like punk rock music that had cussing in it. And he had made a website, called the FCC, called the police, called the state police, and written his congressman because he was so upset about this thing that he can only find when he looks for it. That's crazy. Yeah.
Some people have too much time on their hands.
It's like the person that's spying the guy on the airplane looking at porn. He has to look three seats in front of him.
Warm.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Do you want to be able to tell almost anyone, almost anything with only two words? And how about if you could do it without saying a single word? Then you need, not a guarantee, Lulberts. The new app that's like Pocket Alibi Lite, in that it's like Pocket Alibi if Pocket Alibi only had two words instead of 200 words. Oh yeah, and if it also played the Lulberts podcast. Lulberts, that's our word. Not a guarantee, Lulberts, is from B-Slick Internet Policy Commission Outreach Team, the good people who brought you Bipcoin, Fiendphone, and the best-selling app, Find G.G. Allen's Grave. Log on today at https://play.google.com and get the free Bipcot licensed app, not a guarantee, Lulberts. Do it! Do it! Do it till you're satisfied!
Love you. The film has the topics. Yeah. Freedom Fiends. Love you. Yeah.
Meow.
Meow.
You.
Is that Phil?
Yeah, I think so. Yes, that was me.
Alright. So we have topics. Yeah, it's Phil's here.
Alright. Did you want to talk about the voice assistants?
I am that.
Called the know-it-all technology.
Ask me again. Okay, what was I saying when we went to break? Do you remember, Phil? That's your job, right? Phil Smart.
You were telling me that I had the stories. That's all I remember.
Not when we went to break. That's when we came back from break, Phil. When we went to break, Phil.
Oh.
Remember?
Let's see. Okay.
When you guys were all saying, break, shut up, break.
I don't remember exactly where we were. We were still talking.
It was something about the
radio operators and...
Yeah. I mentioned the porn thing on the airplane.
Oh, and I said, well, it's not quite like that because you could make the argument that a kid could walk by and see the porn on the airplane, whereas I guess the kid could stumble onto the pirate radio, but I don't know that that would be a problem, even with those parents.
Yeah, I was just making the analogy of the person having to crane his neck to see it.
Yeah, of a nosy person. Yeah, yeah. Or... I actually had a girlfriend that used to listen, like she had there was a rule, like her building had rules. It was weird. And it wasn't a dorm. It was just a building that had rules that you had to abide by to live there. And one of them was like, you could not play any music after 11 p.m.
Was it like a halfway house or something?
No, it was a building.
Wow. Hmm.
And she used to like put her ear to the wall after 11 p.m. and be like, I they're playing music in there. I can hear it.
Oh, wow. That's obnoxious.
That reminds me of what this kind of, what these nannies are about the radio waves. So I was saying that the hams, the canned hams, I should be nice because I know they're listening. I know they're all listening. And they'll do things to me. They'll find like something off with a station we're on and report it. No, it's not my fault. I don't even know the stations we're on. I can't remember. But they're so like, I don't know. A lot of them tend to be so nanny, man. It's weird. Like they own the air. Cause they pay so little to get that license. I mean, it's like,
but it's a lot of hard work to get that license.
It is.
No, it's not.
It is. It's a bunch of math. It's a bunch of math.
Actually,
you have to know.
That's one of the things I learned through the Oath Keepers, though. It's really not. They were taking people like quote unquote patriots, which were mostly like 60 plus year old, like grandmas and grandpas. Who are
trying
all
to get
about
licenses because that's going to be the only way to communicate.
You know,
when the S hits the fan,
I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but they were getting people to pass the licenses in like a crash course in a weekend.
Yeah.
So they're not actually that hard.
Well, I think they only administer one test a year. I think that's how I was when I was a kid. I actually took the test when I was 12.
I believe there's more now, but.
In 1976 or 75, I might have been 11. It was back then. It was like $5, I think, or $10. Plus, you had to pass a math test and a Morse code test. And I passed the Morse the math test, but failed. And I'm not even very good at math. And I failed the Morse code test. The Morse code test is no longer required. So yeah, mm-hmm. I can see it's pretty easy to get it. So these people are That's it. Yeah. I'm out of words.
It's interesting. I actually heard, I'm not sure if you guys had discussed this at all, but apparently there's a way you can send emails over ham radio.
Yep. But they have to be unencrypted legally.
Yeah, something along those lines. I just think that's interesting. That's a good way to communicate if it hits the fan and you're in an area that does not have the web. You know,
well, it makes sense
because
the internet was originally over the phone lines, right? And it was, I mean... That's why you heard the really obnoxious noise.
Oh, good old modem sound.
Yeah. The geese
I remember hearing my mom on the phone with a salesperson, and I swear she said, "Wait, you're telling me with your DSL I could be on the phone and the internet at the same time?" Like that was the big selling point.
Wow. Yeah.
I remember them days.
Yeah, so all hams are not bad, but many people who turn in
all hams radio, are not created equal.
Most people who turn in pirate radio are hams, I would say.
Really? Why, what's their interest in that?
Because they think them? because hams think they own the bandwidth. They think they're protecting something that, you know, is precious and needs to be cared for carefully. And they had to work so hard to get this test. They don't want people doing it unauthorized. They feel like they're being stolen from. And here's the real reason, though. There's all that, but there's also they have the equipment to do it, and they consider it a fun, you know, test to triangulate and try to find out which house it is. Now, here's the rub. To absolutely prove what house it's coming from, they need to see an antenna. They can get it down to, like, even the FCC can get it down to, like, all. I went and read some of the, like, you know, you, this person, like the demand letters they send people, or sometimes the warrants, and the warrants are for equipment, not people. But they always say, like, and we saw the antenna from the house once we located the general area. People can run pirate radio if they have a wooden roof, you know, not a slate roof or a metal roof. They can have an antenna in their attic, and, ooh, you know, 10 watts in your attic is as good as 7 watts on top of your roof for distance and clarity.
Wow.
Yep.
That's interesting. I did not know that. Well, not that I plan on running one at any point in the future.
Yeah, me neither.
Interesting information. No.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at for the last half hour of technical difficulties. That was the one piece of information that I really wanted to pass on. Other than Google's spying on me, but Phil has a point. It might just be Google's really, really smart, and I search things 100,000 people a year besides me search. So,
Oh,
you're not special,
could
Michael.
Just be really advanced algorithms, or they could be listening. Yep. You never know. I'm not saying both. We shouldn't break out the tinfoil hats.
Well that's, here's another that's thing, though. Like today I was just talking to my wife, and all of a sudden my phone said, "Hi, if you said something, I didn't hear it. Can you repeat it now?" Like the Google thing thought I said, "Okay, Google." You know, I was telling her about this too. I probably said, like, you know, "Okay, Google's got these algorithms." And,
oh yeah.
Okay, and I heard, "Okay, Google." And actually, Sean Devali said that happened on this show. Let me say it right now, because it'll happen to people if they're listening in their car on the radio. Oh,
that's so right.
If I say, "Okay, Google," "Okay, Google," "Okay, Google," "Okay, Google," "Okay, computer."
Oh, wait, what is it? "Hello, Siri."
"Hello, Siri."
We'll trigger Siri.
"Hello, Siri." "Hello, Siri."
Do we have any,
Siri, what's 2 + 2?
Do we have any confirmation from that that happens with Siri as well? I don't know.
"Siri, where do I buy pirate radio equipment?"
You're going to get a lot of people on some list.
Okay, Google. "Okay, Google, find pirate radio equipment in my area."
That's perfect.
I'm gonna get some interesting emails here tomorrow.
This is a new version of swatting.
We didn't talk. I think we had a lot of things to talk about, but Shane was gone. Seamus was gone. But yeah. I kind of want to talk now about the Google Skype Skittle thing, about the alt-right.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Ooh.
4chan.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you guys have that pulled up? So basically, Google and all of these internet companies are responding to pressure of, "We must stop hate speech." So they've tried to make algorithms that look for certain words that resemble hate speech. And 4chan found a way around it. Yeah. Well, I don't know, though. It's hard. It's hard for, I mean,
I know
it's
I know.
Hard. Like there are pornography blocks at libraries that won't let kids research breast cancer. You know, because they see the things like that. Now, these things are not perfect. The only thing computers are really, really, really perfect at with that kind of intelligent stuff is math. Like, I was scheduling posts on Punk Rock Libertarians for like a month from now, and I was posting them for like a certain time of day at 5:30 p.m. my time, and I'd post it and I'd look at it and it said 4:30 my time. So then I looked, and yes, there is a daylight savings time change between now and then, and it changed it. Computers are really, really, really good at that, and they always have been, even when they weren't very powerful. But they're really bad at language, and they're getting better. They're getting kind of scary better, but they're not there yet entirely. So it's really easy. Well, an example too is like the computers combined with the humans that they have look at what the algorithms pick and what reporting picks can't tell sarcasm from, you know, they fail the, what's that law?
Turing test?
No, not the Turing test. The law that says that good parody is indistinguishable from the thing it's parodying.
Poe's law.
Yeah. Moore's law hasn't caught up with Poe's law, but but it can pass the Turing test, but only with retarded alt-white. No. So
that's alt-white.
Yeah. 4chan came up with this thing of having a word substitution, which is the most basic code there is. This is literally kindergarten code. This is the most crackable of all kinds of codes, but it's fooling, you know, like the kind of code where like A is 1, B is 2, you know, that kind of code. That's the quickable. That's like a smart person can crack that looking at it, and any computer can crack that. But they did that, and like it passed the test. So it was like, okay, N-word, they replaced with Google. Jew, they replaced with Skype. Mexican, they replaced with Yahoo. Chinese, they replaced with Bing. Muslim or Arab, they replaced with Skittle. Gay man, they replaced with Butterfly. Lesbian, they replaced with Fish Bucket. Tranny.
I'm not supposed tranny, to laugh at this they re- I don't know.
Okay, Google. Fine. Okay, Google. Fish bucket in my area. Conservatives, they said Reagans. Liberals, they called car salesmen. Libertarians, they called Aleppo.
No, that's just kind of funny. I'm sorry.
It's even better because it's Aleppo.
Aleppo. Yeah, it's two words. Right. Well, that might be because they were too stupid to know Aleppo's one word.
It could be.
But I think whoever came up with this is pretty smart. And alt-right is Pepe. So the people that came up with this aren't necessarily alt-right.
Yeah.
They just like messing with things. Because I remember that 4chan did a thing before. It was with Microsoft Bing had a service that was supposed to be like an intelligent learning algorithm that you type to. And it was supposed to get smarter. And like within a day, like 10,000... 4chan people like overnight turned it from a happy smiling teenage girl bot to like, you know, a cranky middle-aged male racist bot.
Yeah, so, I remember that.
Depends what you feed into it. Garbage in, garbage out, man.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Ever struggle for the right thing to say at a party? Want something to break the ice? Get the free Freedom Fiends Android app, Pocket Alibi. Pocket Alibi will help you have things to say. It'll replace verbal communication when you're not speaking with somebody.
I value your input.
It'll make you the hit of any party.
Not my circus, not my monkeys.
Will it work?
Not a guarantee.
It's a great icebreaker, too. Comes loaded with hundreds of original funny sayings with great voices and great recording quality. It's arranged into 7 categories. Disclaimers.
You should never do the thing I'm talking about.
Excuses.
I'm sorry, sir. An older girl told me to do it.
Advice. Fun, too.
Get off me, kitty.
Libertarian pickup lines.
Hey, baby, hold my camera while I yell at this meter maid.
State speech is hate speech.
Bark, bark for the state.
Get Pocket Alibi today on Google Play for free. Again, search for Pocket Alibi. That's Pocket Alibi. A-L-I-B-I.
Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi.
Does this app make me look fat?
Possible show titles for this. One is Always Be Ready to Do Radio, which we'll explain. And the other is The Curse of Selby's Pen, which we'll explain. So, Always Be Ready to Do Radio. So, during one of the breaks, you know, we heard this tapping sound on the, and I was like, what is that? And Phil said, oh, it's the tree outside my window. It's windy and it taps on my window. But I'll be moving next time into my bedroom, so we won't have this problem. And I said, why? And then we heard a car go by. And I'm like, are your windows open? He said, no. And I said, why did you move? If you could move anywhere you want in the world, Phil, why did you move there? And what did you say?
I said it was cheap, and I wasn't really planning to do radio at that time.
And I said, you should always be planning to do radio. I think that's a good one. So,
yeah.
And I don't have that problem here. It's even windier in Wyoming. It's the most windy state. But the wind long ago blew away all the trees. So we don't have that problem. But
yeah, there's this very, very tall and probably dead tree right outside my window. I should have realized that this might be a problem.
Yeah.
But today was a particularly windy day, and that's been scratching up on my window.
So, the curse of Selby's pen. How many of you have seen my movie, Hubert Selby Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow?
I have.
Yeah, okay, you guys, you should watch it. It's a documentary I made about Hubert Selby Jr. and the author of Last Exit to Brooklyn and Requiem for a Dream, the books. But he also wrote a book. He wrote a movie, co-wrote a movie he wrote a screenplay that was never a book. And it was a movie called Fear X. So do you remember the interview with the guy who the director of Fear X in the Selby movie, Jeremy? He's the guy with the Norwegian accent or something like that. Danish, I think.
Vaguely. It's been a while since I've seen it.
Who had on thick nerd glasses like I wear and looked really like talked like he was talked like he was really sure of himself in a way that, you know, like overly sure of himself, like overly confident in a, yeah. in a way that like the director of Requiem for a Dream didn't have to, you know, but this guy who makes films you've never heard of kind of like had to sound super important. It seemed like it was kind of annoying. Do you remember that guy?
He's wearing a black turtleneck.
He may have been. His name's Nicholas Rendon Refrin. I can't even pronounce his name, but it's something like that.
It sounds so familiar and pretentious.
I know. So, but you might remember this scene in the movie. He says at one point, he says, "So when I met with," I can't do his accent, but he said, "When I met with Selby at his home in L.A. the first time we actually met to talk about doing this movie, when he went to the bathroom, I stole his pen." You know, just a, not a nice pen, just a cheap pen you'd buy for 29 cents at the stationery store. Because if I didn't end up working with him, at least I'd have his pen. Do you remember him saying that?
Wow. Yeah.
And I remember like talking with my editor, like, man, that really makes him look like a dick. And my editor's like, he said it. I think we should leave it in. And I'm like, I high fived him. And
we're like, that's yes, awesome.
The guy's a dick. We're leaving it in. You know, and so this guy is a filmmaker in Denmark. His films are very popular in Denmark and throughout Scandinavia, and he makes a good living, and he's a respected director. And he made money on all his films except Fear X, the one he made with Selby. He lost his shirt on and had to like claw back from nothing. And there's actually a documentary about that called The Gambler, which I've got but haven't watched yet. It's really hard to find. And I've decided that the reason, and it had John Turturro in it starring, mm-hmm. who's a well, you know, a Hollywood actor, kind of B-list, A-list, somewhere in the middle. I think he lost it because he stole Selby's pen. I think he lost his shirt because of the curse of Selby's pen. What do you guys think?
That's funny. That's possible.
Yeah.
It's possible. Absolutely. Don't mess with another man's pen.
Yeah. And then the guy died. And also, it's like, it's in the middle of this movie where you're hearing about what a horrible life Selby had. You know, he had tuberculosis at 17 and had more than one lung removed and was a heroin addict later. And like, you know, it was living in poverty and starving to death. And as a famous writer, even starving then. And this guy's like, yeah, I was at his house and I stole his pen. So, Fear X is good. It's weird. We watch it, but we don't know what happened, even though we watched it.
Yeah, I watched the whole thing. I'm still waiting to figure out how it ended.
Yeah,
and it's not
one of those movies.
It's not one of those movies. It tries to be, but it just doesn't hit the mark. I think. I like the director. Other than that, I like his stuff, and I like that movie. But the ending and the curse of Selby's pen, which is the name of this episode.
Yes. Yeah, the ending was atrocious. I'd want my buddy back. Yep. Yeah.